Can I do that again?
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Pastor.
Yeah, and the award goes to. That's really good. That's really good. Well, welcome everyone. We're in the last part of our series T3. What we're going to look at today is the best way to start a fight. Okay. And in fact, when we get into the topic, we're going to realize that this particular factor that we're looking at today has started battles, has started wars, has started fights, whether it's personally, within families, within nations, within countries, all kinds of stuff, because it is such a volatile subject. And we talked about it a little bit. I think most of you have guessed what it is that we're going to be talking about today, but it's so important. You can't talk about faith, you can't talk about religion, you can't talk about God, you can't talk about anything of any importance in your life without having this particular issue as a vital part of your life. In fact, I think it's been such a volatile topic for so long. It is one of the reasons why we have made it so subjective. It's one of the reasons why we say, well, that's okay for you. You can hold on to this. This is okay if you want to believe this. That's yours to have. Because it's such a volatile topic, we have gotten to a point in our culture and our society that we can't even talk logically with another person about this, because we get all, I don't know what it is, we just get so upset with each other over something. We can't disagree with another person over this particular topic because we just get so upset, okay? And I've said many, many times, if you're going to hold to this particular topic, if you're going to talk about this particular topic, one of the very important things that the Bible teaches us as believers is to do so with humility, okay? It's a really important ingredient, because without the humility, no one's ever going to listen to the degree that we want them to listen. It's a really important part. So we're talking about T3. This is the formula that we gave you, and this is the third week. And the formula, as you know, we started with 3 weeks ago, we talked about time. And we said time is something that you invest in, okay? Time isn't a linear thing. And time should be thought about in seasons as well. That the Bible talks about seasons. Many of us begrudge the seasons that God has given us. And we think that this time in our lives, you know, we can even feel guilty about the times in our lives. But the reality is God has given us every season of our lives for a reason. And often we miss the blessing. Often we miss what God is doing in our lives in that moment, because we can't be in the moment. We're thinking more about the past, or we're projecting into the future. But the reality is, the best moments of our lives are the moments that we presently have. And those are the ones that God is working in our lives at the time, so he can teach us and prepare us for the future. Very, very important. So time is one of those factors. The second thing is touch, right? We talked last week about touch, about how important it is to be personal with people. That it's one thing. It is one thing to be part of people's lives, but it's another thing altogether for one heart to touch another heart. Okay? And Scripture is really, really adamant about that we build bridges with people. We looked at how the Apostle Paul said that I'm going to become all things to all people in order that I could win some. Okay? You can't build a bridge with someone if you're judging them. You can't build a bridge with someone if you think you're better than them. Okay? And the Bible is very clear that we are to serve people. So it's the time that you invest, it's the touch that you give, and the third thing that we're going to talk about today, it's the truth that you live. So truth is this third component. And we've said you want to get maximum impact in all your relationships, whether it's your relationship with God. You got to invest time, you got to make it personal, and it's got to be about truth. Okay? If you want to invest in your relationships with the people you care about the most, you have to invest the time. You have to touch them in a personal way. You got to build that bridge. right? And at some point, you got to invest truth in that life, okay? Same on the, and we said, the third thing is the personal relationship, right? Your internal relationship. You have to invest time. You have to be real. You have to be personal with yourself. You have to be able to say, this is who I am. This is who God made me. And the truth of the matter is God's not going to leave you there. God's going to want to move you into his truth and to build you into the person that he intends for you to be. I love what Larry Tonton wrote in Fixed Point Foundation. He says, sincerity does not trump truth. After all, one can be sincerely wrong, but sincerity is indispensable to any truth we wish others to believe. There is something winsome, even irresistible, about a life that is lived with conviction. Okay, that is very true. That's why I've kind of ordered this formula in this way. You know, people will accept truth if they know that you have invested time and you really do care about them in a very deep way. Okay? So, you know, it's not a perfect formula, but I think it is the best formula for understanding relationships the way that God wants us to form relationships. And this subject of truth is very, very important. So we're going to start with the very first point that I want to make this morning. And the point is this, is that truth is this fundamental characteristic of God. It's a fundamental characteristic of God. Here's Numbers 23:19. And so forth. I want to read this passage for you. Look what Moses writes about God. God is not a man that he should lie. He is not a human that he should change his mind. Now, isn't it bothersome the way Moses, this is what he says about humanity, right? I think that's very, you know, he's not a man that he should lie. That's a big assumption, right? Has he ever spoken and failed to act? Has he ever promised and not carried it through? Isn't that the thing that bothers us about God? That God, when he actually says, don't do it, and you do it, you get punished? No? Doesn't that bug you? That God is actually faithful to his word? But the other side of it is equally true. That when God says, I will bless you for obedience, and he does so, that God is faithful to his word. He is faithful to his truth. I love what it says in John 4, for God is spirit, so those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, some of you are going to say, okay, this is really kind of obvious, John, like, you know, God is, you know, truth is the fundamental characteristic of God. But can I challenge you just for a moment? Do we really believe that? How many of you are far more accepting of the fact that God is love? Right? Isn't that the easy thing to accept? Because when we talk about love, you know, that just gives us the warm and fuzzy, right? We can accept a God who is all about love, but truth is another matter altogether. Because truth will hit us in the places we don't want to be touched. Truth will invade our lives in the areas we want no one to invade. Truth becomes this thing that exposes us and sort of causes us to pause and say, wait a minute, I thought you were the God of love. Okay? Now, this may be just one of those theological kind of precipices that you stand and you could fall over. But there's a reality when it comes to God that God did not create everything. You see, truth has always been a fundamental part of who God is. And if God is eternal, it has always existed with God. Okay? All right? So when we talk about the creation of the universe and creation of humanity, the character of God, the things like truth, has been a part of God for all eternity. Okay? So God is fundamentally, his character is truth. His nature is truth. But, you know, we struggle with that. You know, because what is truth? All of us struggle with that. You know, for ages, people have been asking the question, what is truth? And we hold this thing up, and we hold this truth thing up, and we don't know what to do with it because it causes us so much anxiety, right? And in fact, even in this room, we can argue about one issue 100 different ways and say that's our truth. And we struggle with it because we're afraid to put something that is so problematic in our own lives. And yet to be a believer, to be a follower of Jesus Christ, it's all about truth. It is all about truth. You know, God's revealed truth is found in the Bible. Right? It's bad enough that God is truth and we hold that up. It's another thing altogether to hold the Bible as ultimate truth. Doesn't that cause us problems? Honestly, doesn't that cause us problems? God, you know, you read some of the passages and you go, really? You know, and I know I'm talking to a lot of Christians here this morning, but honestly, how many of us pick and choose what it is in the Bible we're willing to believe? How many of us say, I'm okay with this characteristic of God? I'm not necessarily okay with that characteristic. I'm okay that God is all about love, but this kind of wrath of God thing, I really struggle with. I'm okay when God is compassionate and merciful and sends his son to die for me. But I'm not okay when I understand that the primary reason that Jesus went to the cross was to appease the wrath of God, not because he was thinking of me. Isn't that a difficult way of balancing out truth? Okay? But it's all or nothing when it comes to God. As believers, that's the push that we all have. Is to be drawn into a life of truth. And you know, I got to tell you, you're going to think this is crazy, but I got to tell you. When I became a believer, I very much was guilty of picking and choosing the passages I thought were okay. I was okay with that. And in fact, there was a lot of passages that I just said, you know what? That was for that time. That was for that moment in history. It was, you know, because of that situation. How many of us have done that? You know, and I hate to say it. Yeah. Way to be with me, Jay. Thanks. You know, how many of us have done that? But I got to tell you, you know, the years that I've taught it at the college and seminary and the years that I've been preaching, and the older I get, the more I'm realizing even those passages that caused me such concern early on, I'm seeing more and more that there's a reason and a truth behind them. And there's a part of me that says, you know, God, maybe you may be right. Maybe as I get older and just a little bit more wiser, that maybe you're right. That's a very humbling experience when you know you're wrong. I know you haven't experienced it. I can just tell by your reaction that you haven't experienced. Why does I feel I always experience the worst up here? I don't. Anyway, but you know what I'm saying? It's an incredibly humbling experience to say, you know what? Maybe God's right about this. But don't we judge God by what we feel? Don't we say, I can't serve a God who? How many of you have ever said that statement? I can't serve a God who, is it possible that some of the things that we struggle with in the scripture are true, and yet God doesn't give us a reason because we can't handle the truth? Have you ever thought of that? Have you ever thought that God says, you know what, this is the way. I know humanity. I know the sinfulness. I know what happens in lives when relationships get fractured. I, you know, maybe I've set up society like this. Maybe I've set up marriage like this. Maybe I've set up education, you know what I mean? And how many of us say, no, we judge truth by how we feel? And how many of us say things like, you know, the ancients knew nothing about life. We're so modern, we're so together today. We understand what it means to be, you know, in the know. We know so much today. But the reality is, do we know more than what God does? That's the big challenge of faith. That's the big challenge of truth. We're okay with the characteristic of God that feeds me, that nurtures me, that heals me, that strengthens me. But sometimes the truth of God keeps us back, and we don't want to go there because it exposes something in us we don't like. And that's the reality, you know? And if, you know, as a church, we're in the business of truth. You know, because not only the Bible, you know, we talk about Jesus. Jesus is truth incarnate. Jesus is truth personified. You know, it's what he came to bring. It's what he came to bring. You know, I don't know how many times in the Gospels Jesus would stop and he'd say to people, I tell you the truth. And then he'd teach us something. In the Gospel of John, Jesus actually says it twice. He says, I tell you the truth. And in the older versions, it says, amen, amen, or truly, truly, or verily, verily. That is the Hebrew Greek word, amen, amen. So when you say amen at the end of the prayer, you're confirming the truth of the prayer that you just evoked before God. That's what it means. And Jesus would say, amen, and then say something. Because he'd say amen beforehand to say what I am telling you is absolutely truthful. Because he was God incarnate to bring truth to the world. And when people heard it, they say, wait a minute. Something resonates about what he just said. How many of you have been in church, have heard something and said, man, I never thought of it that way? How many of you have been in life groups and you learn something? You go, wow. I don't know how many times I've been in a life group and I would think to myself, that was an amazing study in God's word. And you say to yourself, if only the entire world would understand this one principle that we got, what difference would it make in the world? What difference would it make in the world? And the Spirit of God, you know, talk about the Trinity, the Spirit of God is the agent of truth for us today, brings us into all truth, acknowledges, prompts our hearts, fills us with the truth of God, helps us to understand that when we read the Scripture, applies it to our lives, applies it to our heart. This is, God is in the truth business, you know? Listen, you know, I alluded to this earlier. This is what we say today. This is what we say today. We say God is love, and there's a little bit of truth attached to it. If that's the truth, right? If that's the reality. God is love. We prompt that, and we say, and there's a little bit of truth there if you're willing to accept it. You know what the early church said? You know, the early church would say, there is Jesus Christ, who is the personification of truth, that truth has come down from heaven and is walking among us. And guess what? He loves us. He's compassionate towards us. He's come to give us the message of salvation, the truth from heaven. And guess what? He even loves us enough to die on a cross. That's how different we have gotten it. You know what the best invitation? Here's a passage when we were talking about the Word of God. For the Word of God is full of living power. It's not dead. It's not static. It is sharper than the sharpest knife, cutting deep into our innermost thoughts and desires. It exposes us for what we really are. Isn't that a beautiful passage? You see, the Bible is a mirror. It is not a, what's those soothsayers use, that globe, the crystal ball, okay? How many of us want to treat the Bible like a crystal ball, okay? The Bible's not a crystal ball, it's a mirror. That's what this passage is telling us. Looks in the very deepest parts of our lives, the very deepest parts of our lives. All right, let's start putting some practical stuff to this. The best invitation to truth, this next point I want to make. Best invitation to truth is come and see, not shut up and listen. All right? Maybe as a parent you can say shut up and listen, okay? But when it comes to truth, the best invitation to truth is come and see. You remember in the beginning of the Gospel of John, Philip and Nathanael. Philip would come and say, Nathanael, come and see. We found the Messiah. We found Jesus, the one that Moses talked about. Come and see this person. Because Nathanael said, can anything good, I can't believe that this person is here. I can't believe it. And Nathanael, instead of getting into an argument, Philip and getting into an argument, and instead of saying, here are the doctoral points. Here are the Old Testament passages. He just said, you know what? Come and see. Coming and seeing and experiencing it is far more powerful of a life of truth lived with conviction than anything else you can possibly imagine. Possibly imagine. Come and see. That's why Jesus, you know, and that's why we adopted it as a mission statement. You know, everybody, you know, they asked Jesus, what's the most powerful teaching in the Old Testament? What is the one all-encompassing thing? And, you know, in all honesty, I've said this many times, I would have expected Jesus to say a whole bunch of commandments out of the Old Testament. But he said, love the Lord your God, all your heart, mind, and soul. And love your neighbor as yourself. If you say it, you need to do it. If you're going to talk about it, you need to walk about it. You know, if you're going to proclaim it and name it, you've got to put it in your heart and you've got to experience it to the world outside. That's what truth. Truth is never in the Bible just an objective reality. It is a reality that lives in the heart of people and is experienced in daily life. That's what truth is all about. You know, that is so powerful. So powerful. You know, I love Ephesians 4:15. You knew I would quote this passage if you knew we were talking about truth. But the Apostle Paul says, instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. That is Christ. Isn't it wonderful? Isn't it wonderful that Jesus, in so many ways, I love it. I love that Jesus said in the Gospel of John that if you are my followers, you will follow my teachings. Isn't that amazing that Jesus says that? If you believe in me, you will follow my teachings. And then you know what comes after that? And then you will know the truth. And the truth will set you free. So many people, so many movies, so like, quote, the truth will set you free. Totally out of context. Because the only truth, according to Jesus in that passage, that will set you free is to follow the teachings of Jesus, period. You use that in any other way, you're just making it up as you go. In a context, and a text outside of its context will leave you with a con. Okay? That's a principle you got to learn if you're going to study the Bible. That a text outside of its context leaves you with a con. Okay? So, wow, is it quiet in here? Wow, is it quiet? That speaking the truth in love, in the Greek, it's truthing in love. Truthing in love. It has that action associated with it because it's something you live out. Okay? Every one of us has experienced truth from another person that's been done in a loving way, and of experiencing the same truth come from somewhere else that wasn't done in a loving way, right? Okay? How many, we've all experienced that and the difference it makes. One will actually, you can accept and will actually help change your behavior. The other one actually does what? Makes you go, I'll fix them, right? I just saw a couple of you just mouth that at the same time I did. I'll fix them, right? Yeah, and that's the truth, isn't that? How helpful is that? Think about it. How helpful when you receive that. Now it's payback time, right? I'll get them. That's what happens. God is very well aware. God is very well aware of how we respond to things. Very well aware. The truth without humility will be shaped by pride. And this is the last point I want to make. Truth sets you free. Okay? Truth sets you free. Jesus said to the people who believed in him, you are truly my disciples. If you remain faithful in my teachings, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. All right. How many... Just as we close this out, listen, truth is a really difficult topic to talk about. It is, because it's so subjective, all right? So I'm going to go at it from another angle. How many of you would love to be known as a liar? How many of you appreciate being lied to? How many of you would love to see your kids marry a liar? How many of you would love to work for a liar? See, as much as we struggle with this thing called truth, right, we long for it in every one of our relationships, don't we? It is so important because none of us want to experience to be either called or be a part of a lie. Do you know that in the book of Genesis, many people don't realize this, but in the book of Genesis, after the fall, you know how the book of Genesis shows the fallenness of humanity the most? Is that if you go through the book of Genesis, everyone is lying and deceiving. That lying and deception become clear indicators that the world has now fallen. Even the patriarchs, even Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the list goes on, even they were known to lie. And that's not, that's not disparaging the patriarchs of the Old Testament, but that's just the reality of the fallenness of our world. And everything in the Bible is a counter to lies, is a counter to deception. It is when we find ourselves in our lives where we don't know how to discern the truth, that the Bible is given to us so we can find the path to truth, that we can understand what truth is all about, that we can understand our place in the world, that, when we feel like we're being deceived, I don't know how many times I've had the experience of walking somebody into faith, and the thing that after a while I've talked to them and said, so what's it like as a new Christian, all this stuff. You know, one of the more common things that I've heard people say is, I didn't realize how much I had been deceived. It's amazing to me that's been a part of what they've talked about. Now listen, I know this is an extremely difficult topic because truth is so volatile in our world. Truth is so volatile in our culture. That's why I give the formula the way it is. Because if you try to give truth without the investment of time and the personal touch, there's going to be a problem, right? But when you invest in people's lives, when you're able to touch them and they're able to see and experience the life that you live, that makes a big difference. See, it's very, very easy. It's very, very easy for us just to throw truth out there, okay? But the fact of the matter is, if your life isn't matching, if your life isn't matching what you profess to believe, please don't bother. You will do more harm than good. Okay? I'm sorry I have to say that, but you'll do more harm than good. If you don't include the fact that you struggle with it too. But anytime you elevate yourself on a pedestal and say, this is the truth, you need to accept it, and you don't live it without being able to say, hey, but I struggle with that too, so I understand it, you're going to be in trouble, right? How much of a voice do you think you're going to have? And how much of a hearing do you believe you're going to have? Not too much. I love what Ed Cole says. I think it's just a great principle. He said, you do not drown by falling in water. You drown by staying there. Right? And how many people in our subjective world who are just not accepting truth at all are simply drowning because of where they're staying? How many? And yet, we are purveyors of truth. Okay? We are purveyors of truth. So, time times touch times truth equals maximum impact in your life, be it your relationship with God, be it your relationship with someone else, on the horizontal level, or even the relationship you have with yourself. That's how you get maximum impact. And you know how I came up with that formula? This is how I came up with this formula. Comes out of Galatians 4. But in the fullness of time, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law so that he could adopt us as his very own children. Time and touch. And because we are his children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father. Now, here's the truth. You are no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you are his child, God has made you an heir. Isn't that a beautiful formula? God knows how to impact our lives for maximum impact. I think it'd be incumbent upon us to model what God models for each and every one of us. I pray that this series has been a blessing to you. I'd like to just close by praying for each and every one of you and to thank you for being a part of this three-part series of Maximum Impact. Father, thank you for these last 3 weeks as we've had a little bit of fun with this formula. But Lord, I pray that we have learned some very important truths about the way you interact with us. And the way we need to touch others' lives in very significant ways. I thank you for the truth of your word, for the truth of Jesus and what he came to bring to the world. Your Holy Spirit, who imparts that to believers today, helps us to understand your word. And I thank you, Lord, that we can live with truth, not to be swayed from side to side with opinions and philosophies and all manner of good intentions even. That we know your word is true and it will be for all eternity. And we pray, Lord, as this is such a difficult subject because we know it can cause so much friction, I pray finally, that we would be purveyors of truth, but with a heart of humility, that we would learn how to touch people's lives with the truth that we live ourselves, so that we can touch people in very real and personal ways. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.